2,
4,
6,
8.
Who do we appreciate?
Even Steven.
That's us.
And it's just us again.
It takes 2 to make everything go right. It takes 2 to make Bible studies out of sight.
2 or more. Yeah, absolutely.
Where 2 or more are gathered.
That's exactly it.
I like that.
So the Holy Spirit is with us, making it an odd 3.
Right. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So today, it's just the 2 of us.
I'm just hot in off of vacation.
Where were you this past week?
Jess and I got a chance to get a little getaway, just the 2 of us,
nice,
down to Florida. And it was amazing. It was so good. The trip back was a little rough. That we had a ton of turbulence like we have never had.
Really?
Yeah, Jess was not feeling great about that.
Were you praying?
I was not. I was enjoying a movie, and I kind of giggle at turbulence.
Well, we're glad you made it back safe. We are covering this past week's devotionals and just going to touch base on what we heard this past week. And so let's kind of do a quick rundown, Tops, of the people, what they shared, the stories, and kind of bring it back up. So the week started with Cub and Dave.
Yes, it did. Yeah. And they were covering Samuel's farewell speech. And I loved getting to hear what God was saying to them personally through that as leaders themselves. But also really, I was drawn into prayer with them at the end to really be praying for our leaders and for leaders who could be like Samuel and say, look, have I done anything to wrong you? And have I not fought for the oppressed? And so just praying that all of our leaders in every level would have hearts like Samuel. So that was a great way to kick off the week. The next day, we had a combo. Who did we have?
College students, Addie and Grant.
Yeah, Adeline's actually graduated.
True.
But she graduated early, so technically her age is...
Technically, she's a wizard.
She's a smarty pants.
She's smarty.
And heading on a mission trip. It was cool to hear their stories of how just very personal the word spoke to them and how they applied it to, you know, the challenges that they're facing. And just so cool. I could identify with that.
What was cool, too, is Adeline shared a little bit about how she's seeking to be on mission, to go on mission. And she's raising funds for that and how God's been providing for that. But for all our listeners, if you know her and you want to help support her, reach out and we'll put you in touch with her and you can be a part of that with her.
Absolutely.
But it was really cool to hear like how they did seek to, in the midst of at times maybe feeling anxious like Saul, instead of reacting, going to God and depending on him instead. So that's awesome.
That was great.
And then it was Noah Tenhagen, the knife maker. And myself.
Yes, that's right. He knew all about the military tactics and advantages of the Israelite army and Jonathan's position. It was just kind of an insane Rambo mission that he went on. So it was great to hear Noah's take. And who also, I loved getting to hear his journey of how God's been leading him from Central and now back down here at GVSU. And we get to worship with him a little bit more. And he's starting a new group himself, a Bible study for people his age. So just cool to hear what God's doing through him.
Yeah, so if you're someone who's maybe college age or a little after or a little before, let's get you in touch with Noah. That'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. A good way to connect.
Yep.
And then we had Hillary and Vicky, Hillary Madison and Vicky Durr, and they shared a little bit about Saul and the big vow he made.
Yeah, and their moms got to hear a little bit about their moms. But that's really good.
Cantaloupe and jackets. That was a lot of fun.
is a visual, that cantaloupe.
The whole story about Saul saying, we've got to wipe out all the Philistines and to make sure we do that. Like, here's the deal. It's such a priority. I don't want anyone to eat until we've got complete, total, utter victory and I'm avenged, right? And therefore puts his army in a worse situation, a weaker situation. And his own son is the one who's discovered to have broken that. And Saul's to the point where he's so stubborn, so insecure, so self-focused. He's like, I'm sorry, son. I'm going to have to kill you.
Yeah.
For my own pride here. You went against God. But really, he didn't. He went against Saul. Jonathan actually had earlier done what he thought God was calling him to do.
Exactly. Right? I mean, he didn't know for sure, but he basically kind of laid a little fleece out there. And he said, you know what? If they call us up, then we know God's on our side. Let's go take that hill. So, yeah, to talk about doing the right thing in the wrong way. Basically, Saul had kind of a proclivity to do that. He was, in fact, supposed to lead the people of Israel into freedom and to deliver the people from all of these enemies who are taking advantage of them. But he just kept making it about himself and he couldn't get out of his own way. And thankfully the people of Israel stepped in on Jonathan's behalf so that he could continue living and being a leader as well.
Yeah. It is weird to hear Saul in the midst of all this. It's a real, he's a complicated person who in some ways seems very immature. And I don't know what's there, but for such a big, handsome lug of a dude, he seems so childish in his responses, his reactions. He's very reactionary, impatient, and struggles to think of anyone besides himself.
Yeah, I think in today's lingo, we'd probably talk about him in terms of emotional intelligence. Yeah. You know, he had all the leadership chops, but there was just this emotional intelligence that wasn't there, and it got him in trouble. It was interesting, comparing and contrasting Saul and Jonathan, it made me think of Gideon, actually, in the same story, where Saul had his armies running away. You know, he started with 600, and then they just started fleeing, and he's waiting on Samuel, and ends up doing the wrong thing. Gideon, if you remember back from the book of Judges, God was like, now you got too many people, let's send more away. And he kept sending more and more away. And if Saul had only remembered that historically, that like God actually doesn't need a ton of people, he can do this with however many he wants to, then maybe he would have had the strength. But Gideon wasn't necessarily known as a man of faith, but God showed up for him big time. And then Jonathan did something similar to Gideon in terms of like that whole, I would call it a fleece. Yeah, Gideon back in the day laid out a sheep fleece skin and asked if it, you know, he was supposed to go to war, then, you know, it would be wet with dew in the morning and the ground would be dry, and then flipped it the other day. And then Jonathan's little fleece was like, well, if they call us up, then God's with us. If they say, hey, stay there, we're going to come down to you and kick your butts, then we've got a decision to make, right? So he also made a fleece, but, you know, they were ready as soon as that, as soon as God said yes, as soon as God said go, they went. And so for me, I feel like the faith building component is that obedience factor, that willingness to obey whatever we've heard God say. And I didn't mean to rhyme that, but but I think that is the difference between people that we tend to think very highly of in terms of both maturity, but also kind of spiritual giants, is they were willing to do the hard thing because God asked them to when he asked them to do it. And they learned faith. They learned trust in God.
A few moments later.
Okay, let me just tell you what just happened. Steve was just wrapping up his point, and really, I spilled...
Really significant, deep
point, and I reached over to grab my phone for the next thing, and lo and behold, I knocked over my coffee, which was actually more creamer than coffee.
Yeah. You filled the electronics components with creamer.
And I just dumped it all over. So we just had to pause and get the whole place cleaned up. So we're back here.
Yeah,
and
I'm just thankful. Still functioning.
Yeah. No one swore over the...
We did it.
So I appreciate your, you know, your thoughts on that. I think to kind of close us out a little bit, one of the things I had been wondering is the descriptions in the Bible about not just leadership, but people who are following God. How does God seek and desire for us to live? What does it mean to be faithful? And one passage that's come to mind is Micah 6:8. That's like one of those passages that I've been reflecting on a little bit, I think, for... You know, imagine if Saul had been this way. Right. It's kind of how you see Samuel in this way.
Yeah, this was in his farewell speech for sure.
Yeah, so you got this Micah 6:8 passage here, and it says this: God has told you, mortal one, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Let me just read that last bit: do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. How we live matters. Mm-hmm. And you said it earlier, like, yeah, Saul, he did the right thing in the wrong way. And I think sometimes the idea that the ends justify the means is okay in our society, when in God's eye, that's just not the reality.
Yeah.
How we live, how we do things really matters.
It is the point.
Some questions for us as we go. How might God be calling you to be faithful? That's been one of the themes this whole week. How is God calling you to be faithful, to maybe do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with him? How is he calling you to be faithful? And then how might God be calling you to be faith-filled? How's that, huh? Obedient, right?
They go hand in hand for sure.
Right. So what might God be asking you to do to maybe take a step and to join him in something that maybe people around you would go, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense. Maybe that's just the prompt you need to recognize it's faith and God's the one calling you to do it.
All right. Well, Father God, I'm thinking of the guy in the New Testament that came up to Jesus and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. And Father, I think we have a lot of blind spots to where we are unbelievers, to where our faith, our faithfulness has not lived up to what we think we believe. And so, Lord, we simply ask that in your mercy again, you would help our unbelief. You would make us aware of the places that are not following through, that we are not saying yes and immediately obeying. And Lord, I pray that you would also give us the stamina for the long haul follow through of faithfully saying yes, faithfully following you wherever that might lead. So we give you praise and thanks because we know you are good and we do trust you as our dad who loves us. And thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.